Amen. I'm not asking you to turn your Bible to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. I'm going to read that verse to you this morning and talk a little bit about something that is perhaps one of the more crucial things we need to know. Because there's people that want to serve God and live for God, and we need to know this. We need to understand what God was saying through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. And this is what it says. And I'm reading from the New International Version. And it says this: "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Father, this morning I pray that you would help me to understand what you are saying here and to communicate what it is you're saying here. Father, that we might be the kind of people that understands the challenges and the obstacles that lie right inside of us, my God, our own hearts. Father, I pray that we would understand that so that we can better understand the people you've called us to minister to. Let us not neglect this world of evil that we must confront. I pray that you would speak through these words to us this morning in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen. Amen. I'm looking forward to Wednesday, our tradition. We go out to the beach, hang out, watch fireworks. We're going to worship, play some music and worship, talk, fellowship. So if you like to join us, there's some information that you have with you, and I'm looking forward to that. But here, according to the Bible, and these are some heavy words, according to what it says here, the heart, it kind of lies, and when you read throughout the Bible, the heart is like the core of the human person. It is the center. Whenever we talk about the heart, it's like used as a figure of speech, describing the whole person, the entire person, what a person is. If a person is a good person and they do good things, we describe that person as having a good heart. You know, if they do evil things, oh, they have an evil heart, wicked heart, whatever it may be. The word heart, it's used like that as a figure of speech. And on Friday night, Pastor Danny read some beautiful verses about the heart. And it just kind of resonated with me because I'm thinking about the human heart. What gets in our way sometimes? What gets in our way? What trips us up? What keeps us from being all that we can be, doing all that we can do? Is sometimes it's the heart. It's the heart that gives people courage. They have the courage and the stamina and the will and the fight to do whatever they do for God or for whatever. Those that are courageous, that step out in faith, their hearts are strong and solid and undivided. Then you have those whose hearts are kind of wishy-washy. In fact, the Bible has many stories where people say out of fear, when they describe their fear and they want to describe just how frightful they were, they say, well, our hearts melted. Our hearts, they melted like wax. It's used as a description, not just of the person, but the stamina, the resolve that a person has to accomplish something. So today I want to talk about the heart. And the Bible also tells us some things about the heart that we really need to consider personally and deeply, each of us. It tells us that we need to love God with a whole heart. In fact, Jesus reminds us, love God with our whole, which means that our hearts can possibly, if he's saying love God with your whole heart, our hearts can possibly be divided. That our hearts can be concerned about two competing things. More than one thing, and we can give some of ourselves to one thing and then some of ourselves to something else, to where our entire heart isn't given to something singular, something that God wants us to give ourselves to. The heart is the home of the personal life. It's who you are. A man or a woman that has an undivided heart has focus in their lives, has stamina to follow through. The Bible says that it is the essence of who we are, that out of the heart flow the issues of life. So the heart matters. The heart matters. The condition of the heart matters. It matters in marriage. The heart. Not to have a divided heart. It matters in friendship. The heart matters. It matters in discipleship. When you think about discipleship, the heart matters. Jesus, when he would call people to serve him, there were people that he would call, hey, follow me. And they said, you know what? I got stuff to do. I've got things to do right now. We have funerals planned, and we, you know, and I have work planned, and I got all kinds of stuff. You know, and Jesus was like, go ahead and do what you do, man. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. Because if you follow me, I know your heart won't be with me. If you have a divided heart, it matters in discipleship. And so here in Jeremiah 17:9, the Lord says this, that the heart is deceitful above all things and is beyond cure. Who can understand it? In some versions, it says it a little more directly, you know, like the King James Version. It says that it is desperately wicked. Desperate means frantic or impulsive. To be desperate, you can think of what it looks like to be a desperate person. Desperate people do desperate things. They don't think about what they're doing. They're impulsive and frantic. So the heart has this acute state of anxiety. The heart, the unconverted heart, this is what it's like. It is in despair. It doesn't know what to do, when to do it. It just does whatever. The heart, desperately wicked. Impulsively, it deceives. Impulsively and frantically, it deceives. This is the description of the human heart. In the middle of the conversation that you may be having with somebody, and whatever, you know, however the conversation may turn, your heart will say, well, say this real quick, you know, and you say it. And you're like, why did I say that? Or do this, and we do it. It is desperate, frantic, impulsive. Jesus himself says in Matthew 12:34, he says this. He says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. It will say things that you didn't intend to say. It'll say things that you didn't know you would say in similar situations. Words that you don't ever want to say. It'll say those things. Words that don't reflect your best intentions. You know, words that aren't your best self. In a situation with those you love, in a situation where you really want to earn the respect of other people, your heart will put you down. It'll let you down. It'll turn itself on you, and it'll make you look like a fool. Your heart, it is desperately wicked. Impulsively, it deceives, the Bible says. Words that don't reflect who you really are. It'll surprise you, man. It'll make you look bad. Things that you regret later. Man, did I say that? Why did I say that? Did I do that? Why did I do what I did? The heart not only speaks out, it acts out. It's impulsive. It's reckless. It's thoughtless. The heart is thoughtless. It doesn't think first. It just acts. Out of the impulsiveness of the heart, we act before we think. That's heavy, man. This is some heavy stuff. The heart leads the mind, where the mind wants to be rational. Well, hold on. Let's wait a little bit. Let's think this through. Let's figure this out. Let's hold on. We're going to pause. Hold on. We're not going to rush into this. The heart says, no, let's go, man. What do we have to think about? We'll think later. Let's do it, you know. And the heart runs ahead. It leads the mind. It sets common sense behind. It just kind of puts it to the side. You know, don't think about it. We're just going to boom. And there are times when the heart needs to lead. There are times when the heart, needs to lead. But when the heart is unconverted, When the heart is wild and restless, it'll do things that make things worse for us. People enter into bad relationships because of the heart. Hello? The heart is like, go ahead. Just go ahead. You'll like him later. He'll change later. She'll change later. The heart. Not only is the heart impulsive, but the Bible says, above all else. Now that is a superlative. That is an extreme. That is above all else, is what it says. Above all things, the deception of the heart has no rival. It has no rival. It is above everything in terms of its ability to deceive. Now, I've been fooled by special effects, magic tricks. I remember in the third grade, somebody did this magic trick. Man, I'm still mesmerized by it, you know. All these years later, you know, camouflage, you know. I've been crossed over on the basketball court. Yes, me, you know. Juked on the football field, man. So, you know, people have taken me for money or whatever it may have been. I've been fooled. I've been deceived. But the Lord is telling me that above all things, the human heart is the most deceptive. If I've been fooled before, I have never been fooled equal to the way I've been fooled by my heart. My heart will tell me things that are simply not true. It'll make me believe things that are simply not true, that seem right. They seem true, but the heart may be lying to me. You've never been fooled before. You've never been taken for the okie doke, bamboozled or bushwhacked or whatever they call those things, like you have with the heart. The heart will run you down the street, will turn things around on you, leave you bare and empty and naked. Hello. That was for somebody. I don't know who that was for. Just repent, brothers or sister. And some might say, well, not me. Not me. Oh, yes, you have. This is what God is saying, you know. And you can take my word for it. It is deceptive above all things. There is nothing more deceptive than the heart. That's what God is saying about the heart. That's what God is saying about me, about you. If my heart is not in check, if it is unconverted, it is deceptive. Genesis 6, verse 5, it tells us that the Lord saw how great man's wickedness was on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And the Bible says that the Lord was grieved that he made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Now, I would love to think that I can trust my heart. I would love to think that. I would love to think that my heart wouldn't treat me this way. My heart would put me at odds with God. I would love to think that my heart would tell me the truth. I would love to think that, but the description that we get from Scripture is that it is deceitful, that it is deceptive, that it is impulsive. The heart will hide itself from itself, that you don't even know who's telling these lies. You don't even know, and you think it's legitimate, so that you don't know it's the heart that provides that bad attitude. It's the heart that leads you to justify the lies. It's the heart that pumps the ego, that makes us think that we're more than we really are. And on top of all of that, as if that's not enough, the Bible says that the heart is incurable. It is beyond repair. It is sick and infectious, and it infects everything else inside of us. An unconverted heart is the worst enemy that a human being can ever have. An unconverted heart, it does not tell the truth. It sits at the very core of who I am, of who you are. The heart, yet it's not your friend. It's that close to us, yet it is not my friend. Our hearts are full of actions and responses that are hidden from sight. It knows what it's trying to do, but we don't. And all that stuff spills out at the wrong time. We act out at the wrong time. There's that saying that we hear all the time, go with your heart. Oh, just go with your heart, honey. You know, trust your heart. Let your heart be, you know, your guide. Let it guide you. Well, I'm here to let you know this morning that your heart's been lying to you. It's been lying to you. Your own heart is not even on your side. Puts you at odds with God. It creates stories and fantasies and imaginations that are not true. And it puts people at odds with one another. And when the enemy jumps in and begins to twist stories and change scenarios, oh man, it's triple worse, right? It gets worse by the moment. All our lives, we've trusted everything the heart tells us, but it hasn't been telling the truth. For out of the heart, Jesus says, come evil thoughts and murder and adultery and sexual immorality and theft and false testimony and slander. What makes a man or a woman unclean is not what's around them, not their environment. And there are some bad environments in the world. Bad, there's some bad places, places we don't want to be, places we don't want to go. There are some bad environments, but the heart, an unconverted heart, it's not the environment, it's not the neighborhood, it's the stuff that comes out of the heart that makes us bad. It causes us to do bad things. We need to put the heart in check. You know, we need to put the heart in check. So I have good news for you today. God is able to change the heart. Amen. God is able to change the heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Change the heart. Man, change, and you can change the world. There's a proverb that says, remove the dross from the silver and out comes material for the silversmith. Remove the dross. Remove the impurities from the man. Remove the impurities from the woman. And then you'll have someone you can work with. Take the stuff out, the junk out. Take the ugly stuff out, the thoughts, the all of that stuff. Remove that stuff. And you have somebody who will serve with an undivided heart. God is able to change the heart. God is able to do something incredible. You know, one of the most profound questions in the Bible, and this was actually what I was going to share about today, but there was this question that Jeremiah asked, and people have been kind of struggling to figure out what he meant by it, but I believe it's in chapter 17 or 13, and Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23, Jeremiah asks this question. He says, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Then he says, can the leopard change its spots? Now, the first thing I would ask is, like, what in the world would anybody want to change their skin for? Why is he asking this question? Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? And I think that what Jeremiah is trying to get to, especially when you read the story there, you'll see that some things about us are fixed. There are some things about us that are set in stone. This is who I am. This is what I am. There are some things about me that are permanent, that'll never change. It is sovereignly given to me by God, given to you by God, that are unchangeable. But the gravest thing about me, the most urgent and essential thing about me, is the heart. And the heart is the one thing about me, one thing about you that can change in an instant. It is the one thing that you don't have to live with your entire life. It can change in an instant. I was in line at the market the other day, and this lady was holding her baby. Or there's a little kid, and the kid says, you know, mommy, your hair is white by your head. You could change the color of your hair, but it's going to tell on you eventually, right? Your hair is white by your head, you know. Shut up, quack, you know. No, the Ethiopian can't change his skin, nor the leopard its spots. And why would they want to? The thing that we need to change is the thing that hurts us the most, and that's the human heart. It's the human heart. To be honest with you, this morning, I have a difficult time trying to change my mind. We had, last night, we had a church gathering for Japanese food. We went to a place, several of us. I had a hard time trying to make up, what am I going to eat? First, I had to try and figure out, what's on this menu? What is this stuff? And I saw Will and Lewis were eating things that looked like they were still crawling, you know. I said, I don't know, you know. It takes a while to change our minds, but the heart can change in an instant simply by asking God to change the heart. He says in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. God will do this. That's something I don't have to work on. God will do this. It was David who prayed in Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. The most important question concerning a man or a woman has to do with the state of his or her heart, because the heart is the true self. So what is in your heart this morning? Where's your heart at? Is it undivided? Is it undivided? Is it completely surrendered to God this morning? Your heart. Where's your heart at? Has it gotten hard? Has it gotten calloused? Has it lost the fire? Has it lost the zeal? Where's it at? What's in it? What's there? It is hard. There are many rooms there, many contours there. There are things that exist there that we don't know about. It hides itself from itself. The heart won't tell you. The heart won't tell you. Where's your heart this morning? If you need a heart change this morning, all we need to do is ask God. We can ask God to create in us a pure heart, to renew this heart of mine. There's this question that we need to ask, and it's a very deep, deep theological question. So are you ready? Let me know when you're ready, and I'll ask this question, right? Are you guys ready? You ready? All right, so who would win between a fight between the heart and the mind? That's it. That's deep. Who would win? Probably not that deep. But who would win in a fight between the heart and the mind? In a situation that comes up, whatever comes up, who wins? Does rationality win? Does impulsiveness win? Who wins in a fight like that? In a moment. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 2, he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This tells me that this is something I need to work on. God changes the heart, that deceitful part, but I can work on changing my mind. I can work on teaching my mind to recognize lies, teaching my mind to discern truth, teaching my mind to listen. So when the heart tells lies, my mind knows it. My mind recognizes it. My mind calls it. Jesus constantly challenged false ideas, constantly confronted false ideas in the kingdom parables. He constantly told these parables about what the kingdom really is, what it's really like. And he would say things like, you've heard it said, but I say to you. Changing things, changing the perspective, changing the understanding. You've heard a lie. Let me tell you what the truth is like. Renew the mind, and it'll tell on the heart. through the Sermon on the Mount, through the reaching of prostitutes and the reaching of Samaritans and tax collectors and those that society hated the most, Jesus confronted the lie that those that God loves are those we've neglected the most. The single most important idea in our mind is our idea of God. Who is he? That is the single most important idea that lives in the human mind. Who is God? What is he like? What is he able to do? Who is he? What can he do for me and my family? What has he claimed to be able to do for me and my family? Who is God? It'll change the way we live when we understand God. The single most important idea in our minds is our idea about God. So we need to dwell upon God, think about God, the way that he represents himself in Scripture. How has he revealed himself? What has he told me? What has he told me through Scripture that he's like? How has he revealed himself? The second most important idea in my mind is my idea about myself. It's what I think about myself. Who is God and Christ and all of that, that whole picture of God, that is the single most important thing in a human mind. And secondly, after that, is who am I in light of my understanding of God? The Bible tells me not to think of myself more highly than I ought to, but to think of myself with sober judgment, to consider who I am, the fact that God himself would die on a cross for me, that says something about value. That says something about love. That says something about desiring fellowship. That says something about him sending me to serve him in mission. Think about yourself. Think about who you are to God. Don't let the heart lie to you and say that you can't do this or you can't do that. You won't do this or you won't do that. We need a clear understanding of how Christ imagines me and you. How does he think about you? When he went on the cross, was he regretting it? Or was he happy to go? He says, man, my face is set like a flint to go to that cross of Calvary for you. You can't change my mind. Nobody can shake me loose. When Peter tried to rebuke him, he said, no. He was thinking about you. When he went to the cross, we need to think about God, and then how God thinks about us. And I think that we can conquer the heart. So let me offer you a couple of suggestions here. Number one, spend time with Christ. Spend time with Christ. Just in prayer, devotion time, reading your Bible. Maybe you're driving, you're on the freeway, the music is playing, or whatever you're doing, having a conversation with the person that cut you off, stop for a moment and think about Christ. Have a conversation with him. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to walk with you, talk with you, show you things. Develop a relationship, a conscious relationship with Christ on a daily basis. Do that. It does wonders for the heart. Number two, develop Christian virtues. The fruits of the Spirit. You know, learn to be patient. Say, I'm going to work on patience today. Today or this week. This week is my patience week. And this week, I'm going to work on patience. I'm going to just be patient. And when circumstances come, just patience. This week is patience for me. Tie a ring or a string on your finger or whatever you need to do to remember patience. Then next week, it'll be, loving, kind, whatever it may be for you. But develop Christian virtues in your life. Work on that. You can do that. God changes the heart, but there's some things that we can do. Thirdly and lastly, I'm going to ask you to do this. Serve others. Serving others is the most life-transforming thing anybody can ever do. When we serve others, a lot of things are happening. There's the biggest assumption that takes place is for when I serve other people is that I have a means to help someone, that I am able to lift someone, to help someone, to guide, to counsel, to the assumption there is that, man, God has blessed me to bless others. There's something that happens in my mind that says, you know what? I am useful to my brother and my sister. I am useful to those around me. He has sent me on a mission. I am meeting this person at their time of need because Christ wants to do something in their lives. Serve somebody. Serve somebody. That's your homework, amen, for this week. Spend time with Christ. Develop Christian virtues and serve others. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? The human heart is wicked, desperately wicked. It'll fool you. It'll make you think that you understand yourself. But it doesn't tell the truth. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, God says, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. Father God, I pray this morning for this congregation, Lord, that something takes place deep inside of us. Deep inside of us that will transform what happens on the outside of us. I pray, Father God, for a renewed heart. Change my heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Transform me, my God, from within. Give me the wherewithal, the ability, the desire to work on my mind, to be able to discern the truth. Help me, Father God, to be what you've called me to be. You've called me to do something. You've called us to do something. We matter in the world. We matter to people. Help us to serve others. Help us, Father God, to put our hearts in check when they lie to us. We need a renewed heart. You say that it is desperately wicked. You say, Father God, that it is beyond cure, that it is infectious, that it is ill, that it needs healing. And so I ask, O God, that you would meet us this morning with your loving grace. Touch us this morning. Touch us, Lord God. Let us think about you, rightly about you and who you are, that you're the same as you were in days of old, that you're the same, redeeming and loving. And help us to think soberly and rightly about who we are, that we don't belong to the world. We don't belong to the things of this world. We belong to you. We have a purpose. You've called us to something. And so I pray this morning that you would reveal that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, interesting story in the book of Genesis. After God accepted Abel's offering, and he preferred Abel's offering over Cain's offering, God approached Cain when he was all downcast before he impulsively killed his brother. He killed his brother. But before he killed his brother, God approached him and had a talk with him. And God's conversation with Cain was about changing his behavior. He asked him, why are you downcast? Don't you know if you do what is right, if you do what is right, that you'll be accepted? But if not, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. It desires to have you. It's about doing, when we do things, when we do the right things, when we, you know, and that takes a conscious effort. So the heart will impulsively make us do whatever, you know, is impulsive on the spur of the moment. But to do the right thing, that takes discipline, that takes thought. And God's word to Cain is think before you act. Think before you act. Did he take God's advice? No, he killed his brother. He killed his brother. And we've been assassinating one another ever since. We don't think before we act. We don't think before we speak. The heart is desperately wicked. The heart is desperately wicked. It is beyond cure. Who can know it? So this morning, if God has spoken to you and you say, Lord, I need healing in my heart. I need a clean heart, a new heart. Speak to me this morning. Help me. Meet me this morning. Why don't you come? We're going to sing this song together. And we're going to spend some time with the Lord this morning right here at this altar. And this altar becomes a hospital, a spiritual hospital for us, where a heart transplant can take place right here this morning, where God can do a work in us, transform us, and renew us. But we can call out to him and say, God, know us. Know me deep inside. Transform me. Search me, God. Examine my heart. Work, my God, on the inside that I might be different on the outside. We need you this morning. We need you, Lord. Hallelujah.